Welcome to the FPL USA Press Play Podcast. We have a vibes check episode with Brian and Bucks to discuss all the happenings around the midweek action in game week 31. Bucks, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing better knowing that Chelsea got that W, but oh my God, I don't know. We don't have a YouTube channel just yet, maybe next season, but my hair is standing at full attention because I was trying my hardest not to pull it directly out of the top of my head. Cole Palmer, thank God for you. It is a Cole world. We are heading back to the Ice Age slowly but surely if you are a Chelsea supporter. And the rest of it is dog shit. So that is the game week in a nutshell. Midweek mania. It was a fun little midweek game week, that's for sure. But not great from an FPL point of view.
Good for some people if you are one of the owners of the hat-trick heroes in Foden and in the likes of Cole Palmer. Or maybe even had an auto sub of Garnacho off the bench for 15 fucking points. I certainly had none of those guys, so I got a big, fat, meaty clacker of a red arrow. Woof! I am just on fire this season. I rolled my transfer instead of hitting in Cole Palmer this week instead to play Muniz, and wow, that backfired real badly. So I've already made my transfers. I'm looking forward to the weekend. But before we get ahead to preview and fast forward to game week 32, Bucks, how did you score in game week 31?
61 points all out. My transfer moves look absolutely dreadful because I took out the lad himself, Phil Foden, to fuel a double move to move Alfie Doughty and Phil Foden out, bring in two double game week players planning for double game week 34 since I have no more chips. I got in Ben White, who got a clean sheet. He looked great. Nothing spectacular, but points are points. I'll take them. And then I got Luis Diaz in. He also looked fantastic. He had one assist, probably could have had another return on a different day. But compared to Phil Foden's 20-point haul, his second hat-trick explosion of the season for Manchester City, it's looking pretty dire. So I am a handful, a healthy handful, at least a dozen points in the red on those moves. And what can you do? It's just it was good process, bad variance kind of situation. So I get a small red arrow. I'm at 30,000 overall. Still pretty okay with how my season's going.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit more. Last week on the pod, you did a great job pointing out that when KDB does not play, you think Foden's a much better asset and he plays much more centrally instead of being nailed to the side of the pitch. And in this one, wow, he had three spectacular goals. I mean, from open play to hit the free kick to start it off, then the press results in a hat trick and he has just exploded onto the FPL scene and clearly an asset that a lot of players moved on for. And I'm seeing teams that took out Foden to bring in Salah to captain. And wow, we have the heavy hitters of Saka, Salah, and Haaland do jack fucking shit this game week. Absolutely worthless. And I look at my bench. I got a bunch of fucking scrubs coming off. Oh my goodness. I'm honked off like a Canadian goose. Honked off, Bucks.
Well, we should give both of each other some credit and a little friendly pat on the back, because if you listen back to our most recent podcast previewing the midweek action, it was a quick one. So I'm sure if you have a commute or you're going to pick your wife up or your girlfriend or your partner or your best friend some snacks on the way over for a hang, you can listen to that podcast and get all the great insight downloaded straight into your brain waves. We both called that Foden, when he plays central, is a real star. And we were actually kind of wondering why KDB keeps having so many minutes the way that he's playing. He's playing like he's a City bench guy right now. He's really not on the level of the first team for a title-winning challenge. That being said, Foden, when he plays in that number 10 role, is smashing it. He looks like he is nailed to be one of the Premier League players of the season when he plays in that position. He plays like he should be automatic name on the team sheet for Gareth Southgate playing in that situation. So it's all to play for. And, you know, Foden looks so good. He gets a hat trick. But let's go to the color of blue that we prefer and the Chelsea blues, because Cole Palmer is the truth. And to believe that Manchester City had both Cole Palmer and Phil Foden, both under 23 years old, I mean, they are the factory of the best young players in the world right now. They are really plugged in. They are tied at the hip to the young talent that is going to be setting the footballing world on fire for decades to come, it seems like. What talent both those guys are. And they're both English. So even if you're not a fan of City, probably not a fan of Chelsea, even if you're hardcore like I am these days, but you have to be excited if you are English that you have Phil Foden, Jude Bellingham, and Cole Palmer, three of the best players in the world right now, all play for the Three Lions.
Yeah, and we've seen Palmer get 0 minutes in some of the recent friendlies, but I think he will definitely earn those from Southgate coming up here. And as a young player, 21 years old, he's the only bright spot for this Chelsea team, which is so up and down. Oh my goodness, they're almost as up and down as my FPL season. So just to recap quickly, I end up on 37 points, 37% Yikes. Red arrow.
That's not what you want to see.
That's not sideways. Not good. I feel like I sat on a cactus today and then I tried to take it out and it only went further up my butt. That's how I felt. It was rough goings over here. So I'm glad we have some more fixtures on the weekend to distract us. But, you know, in other news, life news, I got a nice job offer today. So I'm very happy about that. So not even the poor FPL score can get me down. But elsewhere, let's just rotate over quickly to our friend, Mr. Dan. Mr. Black Wolf, he ends up on 53 points, a red arrow, just a small one to 8.3K overall in the world. So he is still firmly in the top 10K. And his hits, like yours, resulted in some bad variants with Foden being eliminated. Yep, very tough, very tough. But you both had Ait Nouri, who gets his first ever header goal. I mean, he was playing some left wing. Definitely an asset to keep on your watch list and one for the double game week. That'll be very popular. So good to see that. Elsewhere in
he almost had a second goal. He was playing striker at some points that match for Wolves. It was crazy.
Yeah, it's interesting because Wolves do not look tight at the back, but he is attacking very, very much up the pitch. So a great asset to have. Just want to call out my brother-in-law in our free FPL USA Press Play Premiership League. He absolutely fucking smashed it. Nick Hazi, we're not related by blood, but man, am I proud of you for being the brother-in-law that I've never had before. This guy ends up on 105 points this game week. 105. He captained Cole Palmer versus the shitty defense of the Red Devils. He also has some massive, massive hauls in his team. Has Foden for 20. Saliba and Dunk both put in 7. Garnacho with the vice captaincy for 14 points. And then his auto subs, which he let me know that he had forgot to actually set his lineup from the previous week. So he had Darwin and Gabriel off the bench each for 6 points for Saka and Son. So just an insane, just hilarious game week. Shout out to you, Nick. I'm glad you're still playing FPL and I brought you into the game.
What bench jam. And shout out to the cool Unk in Nick Hazi, and he's raising his own band of little Hazilands as he's a Manchester City supporter. So he'll be hoping that his kids are a little more productive on the pitch than Haaland was sitting on the bench picking his nose all game in that one against Villa. That being said, let's leave the recap in the dust. It was a midweek to remember for some if you had 8 goals in your midfield like Nick did. But for many, it was mediocre at best. So let's take our first break. When we come back, we will fast forward to the weekend where we preview the action in game week 32.
All right. Like Buck said, we're going to hit the fast forward button and look at the fixtures coming up with a deadline on Saturday morning. We're looking forward to more matches to come, and the race for the title is still hot with both Arsenal, Liverpool, and City, the trifecta of teams, all picking up big 3 points, so the table is very tight. We're excited for the matches on the weekend. So Bucks, let's just have an open dialogue here. What are the teams that are going to net us the most points this game week?
So the opening match is Manchester City traveling to Crystal Palace. Palace are offensively challenged at the moment, to be kind about it. So I think really interesting game week to potentially bring in a player like Gvardiol or Diaz in City's defense. I really like that move. If you moved off Foden, maybe there is temptation to get Hokey Cokey, but if you do it, I think you have to do it this game week. So you get the Palace fixture and then Luton as well before the double game week. So if you don't do it now, kind of miss the window. What do you think, Brian?
I'm in a tough place right now because I am setting up for double game week 34 and just have no route to bring Foden back in. So I'm going to be sweating a couple of these matches and just hoping that Haaland will cover me in the match versus Luton. I just don't have the transfers to get him back in when I have Odegaard in my side at the moment. And he came off an 11 pointer, so that was good to see. But yeah, Foden owners who held the faith and maybe swerved somebody like Salah or moved out Son instead of Foden to get Salah are in a good spot. So we expect that
Feasting
one to
and
be,
flying.
yeah, I think this is a 3-1. I think Crystal Palace nab a goal as a gets on the sheet here in that one because we still have seen a lot of injuries for Man City. Who else went down in the game this weekend? Somebody else? I don't know. They have Ake and Walker both out, and I'm just worried about their defense a little bit, but from an attack, they should definitely score 3 goals versus Palace.
Yeah, 3-0. I don't see Palace scoring. Palace are actually one of the worst attacks in the league in recent fixtures. And without Olise, they're just so one-dimensional. It's really Eze or no one is going to score the goals for that team right now. Keeping it in the top three, let's bounce to Arsenal. They're also on the road. They're traveling to the Amex to play against Brighton. I actually think this could be a cagey and entertaining match. We haven't been getting great performances out of De Zerbi's guys, but Arteta seems to bring the shithousery out of a lot of opposing managers. So I think this one could be entertaining. I want to say 3-2 to the visitors. What say you?
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-1. I think that Brighton probably nab a goal at some point in this one. But as we recently saw when Liverpool played Brighton, maybe they can concede a few chances, but there's going to be a lot of possession. This will be 70-30 probably possession for Arsenal. And their defense is just absolutely stellar. So anybody who has double defense for Arsenal, you are set. The big question is, will we see Saka on the weekend? So he was not in the squad midweek and deserved probably a rest that he desperately needs from Arteta. Do we see him back? He's currently yellow flagged in the game. Are you expecting him to start this one and play 60 plus?
I really wish this game week had Arsenal playing in the early fixture window because it would be so great to know with a team leak that he was in or out. Because I think if he's fit, he's starting and probably playing close to the full 90. If he's not, I expect he's not going to make the match day squad once again. So it puts managers in a real ringer. You're in a pickle here because damned if you do, damned if you don't. You definitely want to have him if he is fit and playing against the leaky Brighton defense. And you definitely want to keep him because he has that double game week coming up in 34. However, if he's not fit, it's so tempting to just sub him out for Foden and then grab him back after in game week 34. So I will be really attuned to the predicted lineups and checking that. I would say I expect he's going to start. I think it's 75-25. He starts and plays 85 minutes. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, I'd like to see him play 60 plus. I won't be taking him out, but if you're chasing and gambling, it's just, do you want to take 4 points to take him out transfer wise and then 4 points to bring him back in? Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough call, but for this one, I don't expect a huge offensive explosion from Arsenal. So I think the upside is probably a 10 pointer and not much more than that. So it's a relatively low ceiling, I think, versus Brighton, who've been playing a lot better defensively.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect from that. I think the team sheets are going to be huge in that one, to say the least. There's
Yeah,
been
so
some.
who did you have coming off your bench this week for Haaland and Saka? Like, I had no bench. I had
Dog
terrible
shit. I had
guys.
dog shit.
And
I
it
had
was super frustrating.
Douglas Luiz one pointer, Kirkez one pointer. And I know looking around the community, there is some bench jam going on to the highest and most well manicured and cured degree. There was like fine wine from the early 1700s that was being broken out off some of these people's bench when they get Foden in for Saka. You get 20 points off the bench. And then beyond that, you get, what was it? I think it, I saw that Zabarni got a return. Is that true?
They kept a clean sheets and he got a bonus point, so
Yeah,
a
so
lot
you
of
get him
managers got them as
27
well.
points. Oh my goodness. Some people have all the luck these days, and you people should be buying a Mega Millions jackpot. It's going to be over $1 billion this week. So if you live in the States, head over to your local 7-Eleven. Let's support our local bodegas and make an investment if you got some of that jam.
This week I had Regs coming back into the
Zero
first bench
points, right?
slot.
Yeah,
He got
yuck.
one point, but he did not
Oh,
start.
delicious.
He did not
Delicious.
start, so that was frustrating because Brentford actually kept a clean versus Brighton, a 0-0 match there. So snooze fest, and that would have been nice to get 6 points off the bench for the first time in what feels like forever. But all right, let's keep it moving here. I think another match I want to call out is Fulham versus Newcastle. So Fulham are very, very much open for business, and Isak is a man possessed at the moment. He comes in this week with an 8-pointer, and Newcastle unfortunately draw 1-1 at the death. I started Dubravka over Neto for some defensive diversity, and that one was another 50-50 call I definitely missed. So Bournemouth keep the clean, and the ragtag group right now in the back for Newcastle is tough to watch. Because I don't know who it was, but it was like the 88th minute. Just WWE
Oh,
fucking
dumb it. Yeah,
takedown.
this
Oh,
dumb
you
it the
dummy,
dumbass.
dumb it. Yep, that's right. So that guy absolutely hosed me. Dubravko's on like a 7-pointer. Oh, so annoying. I hate making the wrong call when you have two playing keepers. It's very painful.
I'll say a word of caution about that match. Fulham at home are a different beast, and Newcastle on the road are also, they are like the pups when normally we're talking about the wolves of Black Wolves. Wolverhamptonshire up in the Midlands. That being said, I think this is a really tight contest, almost too hard to call. So I think that could be another 1-1 stinker. But when we look at the Sunday fixtures, I mean, that is dripping with FPL points potential galore. You have Liverpool traveling to Old Trafford for revenge for knocking them out of the FA Cup. And also to, I think, they want their pound of flesh. They're seeing all the shots and goals that Manchester United are shipping. And it's time for Liverpool to have a truly get right game where they don't just score three, they don't just score four. Maybe they get back to the glory of six and seven goals. I think we could see something crazy in this match. I think that's 5-2 to the Liverpoolians.
Oh, wow. You think this is going to be a goal fest. So, what's the word about Salah? He obviously comes off before 60 minutes. So, the
He
overwhelming
was
captaincy
furious.
choice.
He was
Yeah.
furious on the sideline. Oh my goodness. I thought he if Pep wasn't so handsome and wearing glasses, he might have taken a swing at him.
You mean Klopp? Yeah, Klopp's a handsome German
Yeah.
guy as well.
Yeah, I guess Klopp, if Klopp wasn't such a Kloppenheimer, he would have gotten a five fists of the sandwich right to his knuckles.
All right. Otherwise, I think he'll
Cut
probably
that
start.
out. I'm such an idiot. Keep
No,
it in. Keep it
it's
in.
we're keeping it in. This is a quick no edit episode, so it's being kept in there, Bucksy. All right, so we predict that Salah will most likely start again. We'll have pressers on Friday for the weekend matches, but I expect him to most likely come back into the side and play more than 60 minutes. So if you're bold, that could be a revenge captaincy call. So we'll talk about captaincy a little bit later, but there are some other good candidates this week too. Next up, Bucks. I love these fixtures. We got Sheffield United hosting Chelsea. Cole Palmer, the Penn merchant himself. This is a great captaincy shout. But Sheffield United, they put up a pretty good performance today, I thought, versus Liverpool. The first 60 minutes of this Liverpool match was dreadful. I was like, what the fuck are they doing? Their end product was so bad. They should have probably conceded in the first minute. And McAtee,
should have been 2-2. It should have been 2-2. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I think Chelsea, you know, all attack, they're definitely going to concede. But the Diaz guy, Brian Breverton, whatever his name
Ben
is.
Ben Barrington Diaz.
Yeah,
Chilean legend.
Yeah, I think he's going to score against Chelsea this upcoming weekend. But I'd say Chelsea 3-1 there. So Cole Palmer, definitely a good shout for captaincy.
Yeah, we should just glow up our star boy, Cole Palmer. I know we were discussing this before we started recording. Since game week 20, there's been 11 matches of Premier League football. Cole Palmer has 6 double-digit returns in that span and only 2 blanks. The kid is absolutely in fuego. He is in the most purple patch of purple patches. It's so purple, it's royal purple. I mean, he's wearing the colors and the crown jewels. The kid is so special. And it's not just that he's getting one return. It's not just that he's getting one return, as I was saying before, the motorcycle enthusiasts outside interrupted me. He's getting 2, if not 3 returns, pretty much every single game. So I think the only thing blinding us from captaining this kid every other match, if not every match, is his price tag. You know, if he was 10 million instead of sub 6 million, he would be in the conversation each and every game week. That's how well he's playing. When he puts the ball on the penalty spot, it's automatic. It's going in the back of the net every single time. And he's everything to the Chelsea Blues right now. We'd be right alongside Chef Yu in that relegation zone without his contributions this season. It's sick to say, but it's true.
I can't believe this guy is on 16 goals, 9 assists. Wow, massive total. Right now he's on 177 points, and that was after a very slow start to the season where he was not playing a ton of minutes. The first 6 matches, he got a bunch of 1-point cameos, didn't play in a couple. So he is really trying to give Riyad Mahrez a run for his money as the best sub 6 million pound player ever. Mahrez, though, in that 2015-2016 season, 240 points. So
wow,
Cole definitely has the ability to possibly catch him, especially being on pens. And that's what's also crazy. Just, you know, going back in FPL history, Mahrez wasn't on pens. Jamie Vardy was that season, and he still netted 240 points. That's effing bonkers. So hopefully we'll see Cole Palmer easily at 225 points this season with the games remaining.
I like that shout, but, you know, we should give credit where it's due because Raheem Sterling has taken at least 2 or 3 of those goals, if not more, if you're counting open play, out of Cole Palmer's locker. I mean, he's taken a couple PKs. He's missed at least 2. He hasn't laid the ball off to him on at least 2, if not 3, wide open 2-on-1 occasions. I mean, Cole Palmer really should already have 20 goals, let alone close to 30 goal involvements. The kid is spectacular. And I was just posting and shithousering on social media. I mean, the sliding doors moment in the summer transfer window that Michael Olise, you know, was going to be a Chelsea player. We found out he had a release clause. We took advantage. Crystal Palace have a conniption and they block the move, only for us to take that money and go buy Cole Palmer. I mean, with Olise and his injury track record, what a disastrous season this would be. It would almost be unwatchable without the kid Cole in our team. So I love him. He's absolutely going to be my captain in game week 32, if not just for the vibes. You know, get the stench of these lemons out and get the vibes of Cole freaking Palmer into my team.
All right, lastly, Tottenham play NFO. They're hosting NFO in the last kickoff of the game week, and this one is shaping up to be a pretty good match for Sun as well after coming off of a 1-1 blank versus West Ham United. And the first half was decent. The second half was absolutely putrid by both teams. Neither team wanted to go for the win. It was definitely disappointing there. So I wonder if Sun has a bounce back performance and repays those who held the faith with him versus selling Foden. So hopefully we'll see a lot of goals in that one. I'm saying 3-1 for Tottenham.
Oh, I think this is going to be another goal fest. I think 3-2 to Spurs. I think Morgan Gibbs-White is a huge differential potential this game week, and I think he could feast against that Spurs back line, especially with the Dragason. That guy can drag his ass back into a lower league. He is not Premier League level, and I don't just say that about Spurs guys. There are a lot of guys on Chelsea that are on my do not cross into the Premier League ever again category at the moment. So yeah, we're equal opportunity haters and all banter on this pod.
All right, we're gonna take our final break and then come back with our transfer plans and Captain D shouts.
Shout it from the mountaintops, baby. It's time for our transfer plans. Brian, you shocked me. You said you already made your moves pre-recording. You are a sociopath, and I love it. And our captain picks, which I might have splooged a little too early and told you already who I'm going to be captaining. So let's keep it exciting and fresh. Let's go to you, BC. What are the moves, and who's going to be getting the armband in game week 32?
Yeah, so I really struggled this game week. No Cole Palmer in my side. He is now back in. I moved with my two free transfers. Should have taken the hit last week and continued my good hit streaking form, but alas, I did not. And I got burned, third degree burns all over my body. So I just went ahead and made my moves. I went with McAtee and the legend that is Matty Cash, who has been in my side since game week one. He's finally removed.
What the
And
fuck? How is that guy
yeah.
still on your team?
Oh, I mean defensive transfers, I could care less about them. I hate making defensive transfers, so he's never been a priority for me to get out. So excited to have Palmer come in, and then I have Muniz first bench at the moment. The toss up for me is whether to play Muniz or and he, I think he's playing Newcastle. So that is somewhat interesting because Newcastle are pretty open. Or should I go with the likes of Odegaard to the bench. So those are the two slots. I think Odegaard versus Brighton has a pretty low ceiling, but given it's go time for Arteta's squad, they're going to have to push for 3 points. I do like playing him over Muniz.
No, I think you got that wrong. Muniz at home versus Newcastle's defense on the road. I think he scores at least a goal, and Odegaard maybe gets an assist and a clean sheet. But I think the ceiling is higher with Muniz, which is crazy to say because we didn't know who the fuck that guy was less than 2 months ago. Captain Brian.
Yeah, captaincy for me, I'm between Salah versus a just absolutely battered backline for the Red Devils. I mean, who do they have left standing at the moment? They're gonna start some kid that's barely played in the Premier League, probably, because Johnny Evans came on at halftime and then played 20 minutes, had to be subbed off. They have Maguire. I don't think Varane or Martinez is fit, so it's rough times for them.
Yeah, and Wan-Bissaka also went off injured in the most recent match against Chelsea. It's bleak at Manchester United. At least they're home, which should give them at least a boost of energy in the first 5 minutes before Liverpool smash the first goal into the back of their net. However, I am going to go with Cole Palmer. I'm going to swerve the crowd. I'll give Cole the armband. Salah will be the vice, and I'm going to roll my transfer. I am pretty well set up. I've taken a number of hits. Unfortunately, I have no chips left, so I'm just trying to tread water. And I have eight Nori, so he'll be a nailed-on starter the rest of my season. And I don't have Heung-Min Son. He's kind of my big fear player right now, but I will be rolling with triple Liverpool attack. I will be rolling with Cole Palmer. And yeah, hopefully Haaland is fit and playing in this match. We could really use his points and not some bench wanker like Kerkez, who stinks. Fuck that
That's
guy.
right. That's right. Yeah, you're looking to be in a good position to roll a transfer in. Otherwise, you can have Douglas Luiz come in again as your good, bench guy on pens. So I like the role for you. We don't know what Black Wolf is doing, but I'm sure he will be thinking about it quite a bit. He took a minus four, a rare minus four last game week. So He could definitely roll this week, I believe, unless we get more injury news on the likes of Saka and Salah. So, more to come from him and Bucks. That's an episode. Just a quickie here, trying to get it out to the people. Thank you for tuning in to this humble podcast. We look forward to Green Arrows on the weekend. And, Bucks, get us out of here.
Yeah, you can find us on social. We're at FPL USA Press Play. If you'd be so kind to comment in response to show that you've listened to this episode and gotten to this point, wish at FPL USA Brian congratulations with a lemon emoji. That will really show us that you are listening, and that will make sure we know who the most engaged managers are. If you didn't hear earlier, Brian landed a new job. We are thrilled for him. And we're also continuing to keep Black Wolf close in our thoughts and to our hearts as he continues his full road to recovery. We are expecting him back on a podcast in the month of April. So stay tuned. Keep tuning in to the FPL USA Press Play podcast. I'm Bucks. And for Brian, we love you. And let's get back into the Green Arrows in game week 32 this weekend.